begun the keynote by pointing out that the Rambam points out that the saying of keynote is anachronistic in all of our practices, and that it's not a tefillah, it's not a prayer, it's not a limud, it's not a study, it's simply expressing one's aggravation. And the Rambam would point out that the saying of Nash Torah, Al Harim Esa Vechi Venei, Al Os Midbor, Kina, Kina Tisoma Blihish Over, Lo Shemu Kol Mikne, Yofa Shemaim Vademon, Nodidu Alokhu, that Yeshaya says that he is going to, he says he's going to Yirmiyahu says that he is going to raise up, he's going to cry, and he's going to moan, and he's going to say a kina. If Yirmiyahu's reaction was to say a kina, so we take license from that. Today I want to point out that later on in our Torah, we also say, Ko Amar Hashem Tzvois Hisboinenu V'kirulam Koinenus U'svayena V'lachachom V'yishulchu V'sarona. The Givyo also says a few psukim later that out of insight, out of trying to understand, one can also come to Tina. Hisboinenu, the obligation to try to become more mindful and to have the loss of the Mikdash become more appreciated to us. I was looking yesterday at a sefer by Rav Moshe Scheinman in one spoken our shul. This time the Chacham in the Beis Hamedrash in Brooklyn, a several svarim called Olam Moshe. And there he gives the following marshal. It says that we understand the Beis Hamikdash to be central to Jewish life. The Birchas HaTorah, we say, He Beis Chayenu. I don't know if there's a greater phrase that points to the centrality of Beis HaMikdash, an authentic Jewish life. Beis Chayenu is the source of life, source of Jewish life. They gave a marshal. On a daily basis, we don't give any appreciation to the existence of the sun. We say in brachos, we may have a little more appreciation. But it's very rare that a person gets up and is worried about if the sun going to be there for him. And the sun is central to life as we know it. Life will be entirely different. But we take it for granted. When we become concerned whether it's going to be sunny or not, well, take a vacation or a day off. You have to be planning a barbecue. So then it becomes concerned. Then we look at the weather report. Then we go forward and look at the 5-day report. All of a sudden, something which is central to our lives we take for granted, we become connected to it in a almost, certainly in a petty way from a grander perspective. So he says that's what we have to do when it comes to Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is Beis Chayenu. But we don't get it. That's what we appreciate. We don't see it as being central to Jewish life as we know it. So we try to connect ourselves sometimes in diminishing fashion, but we try to connect ourselves. And we look forward, that's his boinenus. That's his boinenu v'kirulam koinenus. Connect oneself, and that's the course of the saying of the kinos. On one hand, it looks like it's going no place, and that's, we take license from Yirmiyahu. And then Yirmiyahu says, it's boinenu, but try and make connections. And over the course of the morning, make it the loss of the Beis HaMikdash, something which is more present in our minds. If at first it's in small ways, and later on to come to greater appreciation. The very first kina is a kina that is a, we start in the middle of the kina. Because the original kina began with the chazorat hashat, and every single, when the shliach tzimu would repeat the Shemoneh Esrei, he would stop, and then we'd add in a paragraph of kina. So we don't have that practice. I don't even know if we still have the text. We begin from the kina that was said at the end of the Chazorat Hashat. Shavas Suri Meni Shemuni Arachlai. And as we pointed out in the past, the central idea of this kina is that one of the ways that we connect ourselves to the Churban Bayis is that we've lost our central place of davening. We've lost our place of davening that holds for us the greatest sense of response to the Rabboni Shalom. Shakosha Mishkan Mishkos Didi Rai. And we've lost our greatest connectors with the Rabboni Shalom. We've lost the Kohanim. We've lost the Kohen Gadol. We've lost the Rebetuvim. And that's one of the ways that we connect to the Churban Bayis. Of course, we have Korev Hashem L'chol Karov L'chol Hashem Emes, unbounded faith in the Kohen of our Tzilus. But when we have a Beis HaMikdash, we appreciate it so far. And the Kayach HaTzfil that the Baruch Hu gives us with Kavanah to Mitzayin and Mitzayin. Let's begin. Shabbat Shem Yenei Shimon Yerichon. The phrase that we had in the last Kino, Potsu Ma'asel Eriel and Nidel, that the non-Jews, when they came into Beit HaMikdash, Potsu Chazir Eyal Ayu Chazidel, the swine of the forest, turn to our enemies. So, screamed out, where are the devoted Jews? Potsu Ma'asei Eriel and Idel, and they said to the Jews, look, you have icons of vulgarity in your Beit HaMikdash. And this is referring to the event that when they came into the Beis HaMikdash, so they found the Kruvim facing each other, and found the Kruvim draped with each other. And the two Kruvim on top of the Arum. So we understand that they were separate. They were forged facing each other. And then there was a miracle, that if there was a period of time when the Jews were not keeping the mitzvahs, and if the Baruch Hu was upset with us, then these gold figurines would swing out and not face each other as a sign of the Rebbe being upset with us. And the Gemara says that when the Romans came into Beis HaMikdash, they found the Kruvim, in Nebuchadnezzar, they found the Kruvim embracing. And they saw that as an icon of vulgarity. They paraded the streets and said, look at these people. They take themselves to be holy people. And in their Beis HaMikdash, they have the Ma'aseh Aroyos. They have this vulgar sign. And for us, we have to understand what was the point of God doing this strange miracle that the Kruvim should be embracing with each other. There's a wide range of interpretations amongst the Rishonim and the Achronim. One of the great Rosh Yeshivas, the previous Dara of Mishkovsky, Far Chassidim, he understood it based on each other. It didn't mean that they were embracing with each other. I mean, they were facing each other. But it's so strange. God is destroying the Beis HaMikdash and then giving us a sign that the sign of them being close together. Doesn't make sense. When the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash should find the Kruvim facing out, that God's upset with us. Shouldn't find them facing each other. So Mishkovsky explained, when Bezalel made the Kruvim, they were facing each other. And then God, miraculously, instilled life within these gold figurines in order to represent the relation between Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. And that was a miracle. And that was part of Beis Chayenu. And that was meaningful as long as they had a Beis Hamikdash. If the Kuvim were facing out, it was a sign of Muslim. If the Kuvim were facing in, it was a sign of Av of Lav, because Baruch Hu accepted us. But if there's no life in the Beis Hamikdash, if it's destroyed, then it goes back to the way that Saul made it. Then it means they don't have life inside of them. Then facing each other is insignificant. That was what was happening. Because Baruch Hu took this miracle away from us. So it went back to the way it was before there was a miracle. So it became meaningless. That was the Musa. The Goyim saw it as some sign of vulgarity. So we saw it as Baruch Hu removing his lifeness, as becoming still, as a meaninglessness. So without the Beis HaMikdash, without Kadosh Baruch Hu being central to life, each person on their own, the life becomes lifeless. And then I came across a fantastic interpretation by the B'nai Yisrael, that was a Chiddush HaRav. Great, I didn't remember. It is the following. He said that there's a halacha that when husband and wife, when a husband's going on a trip, leaving his wife for a period of time, so the night before, there's a mitzvah of ona, the mitzvah of spending time with one's wife, depending on the period of the cycle of one's life. But there's a mitzvah of spending time, either chibur, chibur benishikur, spending time. So the Din Rebbe says, Kadosh Baruch Hu was sending a siman to us. He was leaving us. Chum Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, before he left, he had a mitzvah of owner, spending time. So the Kruvim were embracing each other as a sign of taking leave of each other. That's Masa Ariel and Idel. The next kinah is based on the second parak of Eicha. Eicha Atzta Biyapecha. La'adeh Biyad Adonim Emunecha. How did you rush in angrily, with anger, with fierceness, to destroy the Beis HaMikdash? The loin zacharta, you didn't remember, you didn't recall. So Atzta Biyapecha is a tremendous play in words. How did you rush in anger? Because the meat of the Kadosh Baruch Hu was erech afayim, to be slow in anger. And slow in anger doesn't mean that Kadosh Baruch Hu is in denial. Slow in anger means that Kadosh Baruch Hu appreciates that our core is good. Our core is our Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. Our roots are good. So when you have a relationship and it goes back a long time and a friend, a long-time friend, and there's so much going on between the two of you, and then he makes a mistake and he aggravates you. If it's a new relationship, so you're dismissing him. But if it's a long-term relationship, and you've gone through a lot together, it's erech afayim. So that's what we say to the Baruch Hu. Eicha asta biyapecha. The loins of heart, and you don't remember, we go through the various events. It is Mitzrayim and Mikdash and Sinai, and the giving of the Torah and the Brit Ben Absorim. And we say to Kadosh Baruch Hu, well, we have a long-standing relationship. How could we have lost all of that? How could we lose the Vida of Erech Abayim? Eichlat Tzvi HaPech Ol Yadei Ziyar HaDomin HaMunecho HaMulei Zachar Tzvi Brit Ben Absorim HaShem Meirah Tzvi Chunei. The next king of Adel Chuk Shemayim, the refrain is, Mi Yitein Roshi Moyim Mi Yitlinu Mabidbo, what I would give, what I would give first to be able to cry, what I would give to give full expression So it means to lose Beis HaMikdash twice in the same day. What I would give, the Lord of Kali says, to be able to have another opportunity. What I would give to be back in the Midbar and to be able to retrace and redo the Chayit HaMeraglim. What I would give to be able to have the miracles of building the Beit HaMikdash again, the Shomir, the worm that would cut through stones. It says, what I would give that my prayers should once again have the same impact. This is the kingdom of stress, is the prayer for second chances. To be able to do things over again. Having the insights of time and previous mistakes. It becomes so painful because the second Beit HaMikdash to some extent is the second chance. And by losing it on the same day as the first Beit HaMikdash, so we have this kina to say, we would give to be able to retrace our steps in the Chayit HaMeraglim, go back to the Leil Midbar, and then to be able to retrace first Beit HaMikdash and knowing what we've seen, to be able to do things differently. Adin Khushimayim, Alay Kishamay, the next kina wraps itself around two sources, two texts. One is the second parak of Eicha, and the other is the beginning of Pashas Bechukotai. The beginning of Pashas Bechukotai establishes the brachos and blessings of Klal Yisrael when we're have found favor with the Ribbono Shel Olam. So the kina wraps itself around from the psukim and Eicha and saying, look what we did not get. We didn't get the bracha of the Bukhukosai Teleichu. We didn't get the bracha of the Nasati Gishmechem Be'itam. We got hunger and suffering to more in place of Yisig Lachem Daish and Bosni. And that's what every single phrase relates, one of the sorrows of the that is described in the second Perek of Eicha, that it came in place instead of having the brachos of the Chukosa. It's another expression of a lost opportunity. That's this kina, several kinas give expression. The aggravation of having things mapped out for us and sort of missing that plan. A good moment to point out that the Melozer HaKalir had created a seder of kinos. As we just finished Eichon Yashva Chavatolot HaSharon, begin Eichon Yashva Chavatolot HaSharon. And as we'll point out later on, there's great significance to the order and the organization of the kina. The next kina is the kina that describes or attributes kina to the 24 families of Kohanim. The Kohanim were divided up into 24 families, so that each family would have 2 weeks in Beit HaMikdash, plus the Yom Tovim, and then each family was then divided once again, so that every group would have 1 week in Beit HaMikdash. And the next kina, every paragraph ends with a name of one of the 24 Mishmoro Takahuna, one of the 24 Huna Kohen groupings. The names are not that familiar to us. We are more familiar with the names that are listed of the Kohanim in the first Beit HaMikdash. And we assume that the names of the Kohanim were somewhat changed and these names that the Roza Kalir gives us, the names that were used in the second Beit HaMikdash. Roza Kalir debated exactly who and when he was. The Rishonim understood that he was one of the Tanon. There was some Rishonim say that he's Rolozim in Arak. Others say that he was perhaps the son of Shimon ben Yochai. And there was significant doubt was cast on this understanding, because there's going to be a kino that will say later on that it's been 900 years since the Churban. So that raised the question as to whether the Rishonim had identified the Roza Kalir accurately. But the argument goes both ways. In other words, the one argument is, well, it's 900 years, so it can't be one of the Tanon. They lived, latest Tana was used 2-3 centuries after Churban Bayis. On the other hand, the argument is that 900 years placed in the time of the Gonim, and the Rishonim lived shortly afterwards. So it's difficult to assume that Rishonim would make that kind of mistake, because it's just, again, a few hundred years since he would have lived, if he lived, 900 years post Churban Bayis. So that's the debate, an open debate, and the Rishonim, it's probably easier to explain that the Lozar Kalir is one of the Tanon, but that particular kino was updated by a later author. In other words, they would, every century they would change the text and say it's now been 800, 900, and then we stopped changing text. So the that probably is the best approach. So this upcoming kino, one can look at it in two ways. One can look at it as a kino that's focused on Kohanim, because Kohanim should be connecting with Churban Beit HaMikdash in a different way than the rest of us. And for Kohanim, being in Beit HaMikdash, first of all, is the great pride of not being involved in Chet Ego, of distinguishing themselves from the rest of Klal Yisrael. So on one end, the loss of a Kohen is a much greater loss. As we said before, it's boneness means creating connection. So Malach HaKalir says that the Kohanim, they have a different way of connecting with Churban Beit HaMikdash. It's the loss of a legacy. It's the loss of being part of the aristocracy of Klal Yisrael, of the royalty of Klal Yisrael. The loss of being in the presence, in the close confines of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. It can also be taken from a Klal Yisrael perspective. And that is that life within Mishmaris Kohuna is a life where everybody has some connection to Beit HaMikdash. It means that we live, Kohanim live amongst us. He says, say, Kohen Yishmeru Da'at. It means that Kohanim were the cadre of teachers of Rosh Yeshiva Mechanchim. It means that every Jew would have significant connection and contact with a Jew that was in Beit HaMikdash, and with a Jew that organized his entire schedule around being in Beit HaMikdash, and a Jew that was preparing for being in Beit HaMikdash, and a Jew that was pining to be in Beit HaMikdash. Because if you are pining, and you can be in Beit HaMikdash, and you can go there for Yom Tov, and then you have 1 week. So that's the week that you spend the rest of your life preparing for and pining for. You got to miss that for that 1 week. And it's going to be in that week. And we're going to see in that week. So if we have Kohanim coming to us, the Trumos, for the various gifts, how we support the Kohanim. So means every Jew is connected, appreciates the Kohanim, supports the Kohanim, taught by Kohanim. And then the Kohanim with the ones who were in charge of keeping Beit HaMikdash is a medrash that at the very end, the last moments of Churban of Beit HaMikdash, the Kohanim threw the keys up and the hand came down and received it. It's communicated the Kohanim with the Shomer. They were responsible for Beit HaMikdash. And when Kohanim didn't take their responsibility seriously, properly, when they misused and abused, as it happened in Shiloh, Eli's children took advantage of being Kohanim. They took advantage of being the ones that would connect us with the Rebbeinu, taking our korbanos. So when those who are entrusted being the shomrim abuse that privilege, that becomes such a betrayal of privilege that's korban bayis. And then every Jew has to put in his own term as well, because we're all mamlechus kaiyim. We all have responsibility, even if we're not kaiyim, to be shomrim and mishmeres Hashem. So we speak about kaiyim, but there's so many different levels in which it pertains as you go through this kiva. Eichon yoshvach avatelus hashorin v'domam roim v'vinoit v'yorin v'nobim v'shmereishim kaiyim v'yarim. Kedivus ha-rabbais and shorim morim. Zor chayitim ke mechumesh et shorim. Shenev ha-kwein v'navi v'yom. The last line of the kina introduces the next kina. Yekon min yirmi al yoshiyo. Some kinos don't have that as the last line. In my mind, the point is that the kinos roll one into the other. That is, the Yirmiyo says it was a tzorah without let-up, so the kinos roll one to the other. And the next kina is a central kina. It refers to the kina that Yirmiyo made over the death of Yoshiyo. It was one of the kinos that Bishbaruch Hu asked Yirmiyo to make. And this is the Malach HaKalil's rendition, a reconfiguration of that kina. And the fact is the concept of the Enik Rabba, the Raida Kamansha, that he understands that the Rabba told him, yo, this kina, it became an obligation for generations, that whenever there's a Torah, to somehow remind ourselves on the loss of Yeshua Melech. I think that if we think for a moment about the loss of Yeshua Melech, we can understand what the Nebuch was saying. So we reviewed the story many times, and the Kina reviews the story of Yeshua Melech, 8 years old, coming to kingship, the son of Omon, the son of Menashe. Menashe, king that for most of his life he betrayed Tal Yisrael, put Avodah Zarah Beit HaMikdash. You have to remember that Menashe was the king that appeared to Rav Asher in the dream. So when he said that, when he told his Talmidim that tomorrow we'll discuss our Menashe, he spoke to him in a diminishing way. So Menashe came to him in a dream and said to him, I know how you referred to me this morning in Shir, but you should know that if you lived in my time, then you would be lifting up your skirt, your toga, to run after Avodah Zarah. So Menashe, the son Omon, who ruled for a very long time, Omon and his son Yoshio, became a child king. And then, after many years, he was still a teenager in Malchus, king, so then the Kohen Gadol, in Yeshayahu's direction, began to improve the Beit HaMikdash. And while he was looking around during his tour of the Beit HaMikdash, he found the Sefer Torah. The Sefer Torah had probably been left there by Yeshayahu's great-grandfather, Chizkiyahu HaMelech, Menashe's father. And when Chizkiyahu found the Sefer Torah, it was opened up to the Tokhava. And he presented this to Yeshua HaMelech, and it would seem from the text that Yeshua HaMelech was unfamiliar with the Sefer Torah, which in itself is a kina. Because the Melech was supposed to have two Sefer Torahs. He was carrying a Sefer Torah around with him. So to have a Melech that was unfamiliar with the Sefer Torah. And when Yoshio and Melech, when it was read to him and he understood that they found the Sefer Torah and it was open to the Tokacha. See, it says this is what the Baruch Hu wants us to do. He wants us to return to him. And he began what was known as the greatest movement of Tshuva. And he enforced it. He got rid of Avodah Zarah. And he enforced it throughout Klal Yisrael. He had people surveying and doing inspections in order to make sure that we were Avodah Zarah clean. Nevertheless, at the end of Yeshua's reign, he was so sure that he had achieved messianic times, the times that Baruch HaTzomer says that a sword will not pass the land. That when Mitzrayim, when it becomes rare to throw it to find Ashur, he said that it's not the time. They don't belong here. Yeshayahu Novi told Yeshua Melech that he's wrong. We haven't reached that time yet. And Yeshua Melech didn't listen to Novi. And that moment of hubris was the moment of his great failure. And the end of the Kina described that when he took his army to battle the Mitzrayim, so he perished in that battle. His body became like a holder of a canister of spears. And the very last phrase that he said was, Tadiku Hashem Kipiyo Marisi Yed. He left this world with Tzidok HaDin by accepting that he had erred terribly and Kadosh Baruch Hu had done justice. What Yeshua Mel did not know was described as Dovak Bochet Leitzonei Ador, that he was still trapped by the people who were able to do an end run around the police, the Avodah police, that they ingeniously were able to figure out a way of hiding their Avodah Zarah inside closets, the back of the doors. So when the police came to see if there was any Avodah Zarah in the home, and they opened the cabinet, they couldn't find the Avodah Zarah because it was tacked onto the back of the doors. And that's Dovas Boy Chet. That's what the Navi was telling Yeshua Melech. He had done great things. Things that postponed Churban Bayis for over two decades. And he was so successful that when he had listened to the Navi, then perhaps we could have averted the Churban Bayis initiative. But Dovas Boy Chet Leitzonei Ador. I want to make two quick points. It's put in the past. Leitzonei Ador are stoppers. Rabbi Chaya points out that of all of the negative personalities of Mishle is a lot of positive, a wise men, a tzaddikim, a chassidim, a lot of negative, pesky, fools, and ignorant people. Which Rishon says that Rabbi Chaya is the worst one of all of the bad characters is the late son, the left. Why? Because the left, the person who mocks, is impenetrable. You can't teach him anything. The person is not so smart, you can get to him sometimes. A person is a rush, you can get to him sometimes. But if the person is not open, if whoever he speaks to, he's able to find a reason not to listen to them. So then that's a left. That's a person who's able to create a caricature of everybody else, find a flaw, and have no reason to listen to them. He'll never grow, he'll never learn. Rabbi Chaya says the worst of Shlomo HaMelech's people is the one who will never be able, he's not open to redirection, to learning, to understanding, to growing. Dovas Boy Chet Leitzonei Ador. You say that the king himself, saying God will find the Sefer Torah, Siman HaShemayim, the king himself, Klal Yisrael accepts as Siman from Kadosh Baruch Hu, the only ones that don't listen, Leitzonei Ador, those who have no reason to be open to grow. Gemara says at the end of Masechta Sota that we learned part of this Gemara over the last week, the Ikshus and Mashiach, times to come in our time, chutz v'yazge, that it's before that Gemara. The line before that Gemara. The Gemara says that as a result of Masorim Bayis, so describes the various problems that Klal Yisrael will have. And one of the problems that Klal Yisrael will have is the Gemara describes, the last omen of Masechta Sota, is that we will become unteachable. So Rashi says over there, Rashi says this explanation. Rashi says, because we will have leaderless flock, and we will magnify the flock, and then have no reason to listen to them. That's the fate of the Tenei Ador. Why should this be a central kina for Klal Yisrael for all time? After all, it was a one-time event. A child king. A king who brings Kazal to Tshuva. A simon in Beit HaMikdash. A sefer Torah. So I think the reason why it is so central is because it's such a prominent lost opportunity for Klal Yisrael. At least ever after born, lost opportunities. We've often explained the only one of the Yud Gimel Ikori Yamuna, the only one of the 13 principal faiths that has a clause, the Af Al Pi Shi Yismameya, often point out it's unique to that principle. We don't say, I believe in Chava Onish, even though Tzadik Yerol and Rosh HaMetzel. Right? We don't have any other Af Al Pi. We could have Af Al Pi. We've often explained, I've seen it recently in the Sfarim of the Matashil Solomon, and then more recently in the Rebbe Kohn. It's the same idea. Afalpishus there means, even though we know there are opportunities when Mashiach was destined to come, Ani ma'amin emunah shleimah, that there'll be a Mashiach. Now it's reasonable to say, because Baruch Hu kept his deal. Because Kiyoha Melech was destined to be Mashiach, Gemara says he did not say Shira when Yerushalayim was saved from the siege of Sancheirav. It wasn't Mashiach. Rishonim say that Rabbi Akiva, when he accepted Bar Kokhba as being Mashiach, it wasn't a mistake. Bar Kokhba could have been Mashiach, but we were ready for it. It could be that Yeshua Melech could have ushered in the time of Mashiach. We would have listened to Yeshua Melech. So when we say, Afal Pishas, the name of me, even though Kadosh Baruch Hu was kept to sign the deal many times, he's coming with it, but he will not stop. Takeva, he will offer many, many opportunities, but that doesn't mean that it isn't a special payment when we let those opportunities go by. Let's say, I highlight a phrase that resonates very strongly with me in the previous, and the Kina we just said, "Va'od lo shalach yodim in achor." And that's a plain word. Shir Hashirim, when the Kadosh Baruch Hu comes to Klal Yisrael, so it says, and we didn't get up, we weren't ready when the frame of mind was too much bother, so we didn't answer the door. So it says, Sholach Yodim min Achor. He took his hand away. Sholach Yodim min Achor. He took his hand away from the handle. Handle, those times were embedded into the wall itself. So the Medrash says, it could also be read, by Sholach Yodim min Achor. He did not send his hand forth min Achor. He didn't send Mashiach min Achor. The Medrash says, it means the same thing in this case. He didn't Shonach Yodim min Achor means he pulled his hand back, right? Or it could mean Shonach Yodim min Achor, a Kadosh Baruch Hu will send his hand forth from the handle. This is taking the Midrashic phrase. Lo Shonach Yodim, he did not send his hand forth to help us from the door handle. The Gemara never says, the Zohar of the Mei Kanzu Achor, a hole in times gone by, it would become dirty and hard to clean, so they would collect insects. So it wasn't a pleasant place to put your hand. So Kadosh Baruch, so the Medrash says, Sholach Yodei Menachor, Kadosh Baruch Hu will sometimes send the Yeshua, the Nachor, from a place that we would not expect it. Sholach Yodei Menachor, Kadosh Baruch Hu will sometimes send the Yeshua from a dark and difficult place. And the Medrash has in mind that the second Beis HaMikdash was built under the, because of the consent of Koresh. It wasn't built with through the impetus of various tzaddikim and great chassidim. So that's why it's a very important comment for Klal Yisrael at all times. We speak about lost opportunities. Sometimes people expect that the opportunities will come, the Yeshua HaMelech will come to the greatest tzaddikim. And Rosh says no. Sometimes the opportunities will come, Sholach Yedem and Achor. Sometimes it will come from very, very surprising places. And that too is the way in which Mashiach can come. The next kinah focuses on the inevitability of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. In other words, the Rav Elazar Kalir says that the pattern of building and destruction that's embedded in the world. Oli asher ta'avta ad lo bereshis. The Beis HaMikdash that was God's desire and God's plan even before bereshis. And again, the play on words that v'hoyis ha'aretz tohu v'vohu, that's a sign of destruction. Medrash says that there were several worlds before this world. The point that he's saying is that the part of the pattern of Klal Yisrael, of the world, of the Rishon Gan Eden to another Gan Eden. We have Matan Torah, Ezel, Mishkan, ultimately Mishkan Shiloh. We have Geula, Golos, Binyan, Churban. So we say, the Kina says, this is all part of the Kadosh Baruch Hu's original plan. The way that I would understand it is that the way the Shulchan Aruch explains that there are certain things that, certain phenomena in this world that are not natural. A Kadosh Baruch Hu was intended for them to happen, but they don't naturally go together. It's not natural for a Kadosh Baruch Hu to be in this world. Every time we say the bracha at the end of Asher Yotza, we say Umafli La'asos. So Shulchan Aruch says, what do we have in mind? Umafli La'asos. That the bracha was kept an neshama and a guf together. Doesn't make sense. They come from different arenas. They have different physical properties. One has physical properties. One does not have physical properties. Shechina in Beis HaMikdash, Shechina at Sinai. Two worlds that have different, define different parameters, deny each other. Kadosh Baruch Hu keeps them together. The great zechus of Beis HaMikdash is to be able to keep Shechina in this world. The Shechanti B'Sofa. But we have to appreciate that it's not a natural union. And that's what this keynote is pointing out. Natural would be that there are two separate worlds. Kadosh Baruch Hu created a world with different parameters, different natural parameters, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, and Klal Yisrael has the ability to keep, just like we keep our neshamas inside our guf, we have the ability to keep the Shechanti B'Sofa. If we appreciate that it's not a natural union, one that requires a great concern and great observance. Oh, yes, sir, to have to have no liberations and you can come in the story for you. Not working? The next kina, the 13th kina, is the play on words that's based in the Medrash that Eicha could mean Eicha, where is the call? And the kina of Loza Kalir traces the word ko throughout Chumash and the various brachos that result from ko, the various events, and it says what happens in both events. Kol Yezarok, over the promise of Brisbane of Sorim, Necha Ad Kol, what happened to the Kol of Arkada, in Kol Yomar, the Kol that promised Yaakov Avinu, that no matter what Lavan would say, he would always land on his feet and come out ahead. The Kol of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Kol of Yitzias Mitzrayim, and ultimately the Kol of Matan Torah, Kol Somar, the base Yaakov, and the Kol of Birchas Kohen. I made a mistake. The next kina is the kina that sees that the Churban Beit Hamikdash was already intimated by the creation of the world, by the phrase Artois Sovo, and by the recreation of the world several times in the pattern of the Golos and Geula that we already know from Chumash Bereishis. Eichos Hashem Kvaro So Tova Meni Lishvoi Tishayu Hashem Adlashchokim Mitochu Vashriva Mashvoi Tishayu Sovi Mila Vois Arvis Tishakris Geyel Magid Mireishis Akris Vondri Vachori Vumoni Vachris Vachori Vachalto Vosa Yechris Hechris Ishun Choyshech Mizuda Vachalvoi Num Chazu Vachuda Ozden Roshi Dorit Nitu Tignot Adlai Osu Vachalvoi Tishayu Goda 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 זה סייף לפון הוט או גולי רוי נחו צרקן לפון הוט נחו פסלו חמי ויש אוקי אמת קוצר דו בלי בית כיבורות ויאסטו ביקויני נולו ביחו ביחו ביישו צומי ולוי מושו ינות עד כינות ויגול נחו יום לדפס לי מי נהויס לי נהיו שם השם ולוי נויר בין מזרח בין הבית The third parak of Chok has a very place and the Agever because it is the response of Yirmiyo to the Eicha not being listened to. Eicha is either Musar, Teichacha, Gemara says, or a form of mourning. But the story of Eicha is describing previous years, and to remind ourselves that it was written by Yirmiyo on captivity was given to Baruch ben Neriah. He asked Baruch ben Neriah to have a day of fast to get his heart for us to wrap our minds around this. The Jewish people came together as a fast. So they were obviously made aware and were awakened to impending trouble. And in front of this gathering of people in fasting and prayer, Baruch ben Neriah reached the first and the set and the what we have is 1, 2, and 4. This is the way Chazal sees it, this is the way Rashi describes it. Ibn Ezra takes issue with this. Ibn Ezra, it's a tradition should be understood as a medrash. Ibn Ezra says that the Eicha that we have now is not the Eicha that Yirmiyo wrote initially. Nonetheless, even according to Ibn Ezra, it's a valid motto. But Rashi, quoting Chazal, seems that to take it literally, that Yirmiyo wrote Perek Aleph, Perek Beis, and Perek Dalet 1, 2, and 4 as the Tavuah God instructed, and God instructed as he read to the people, was read to the people, and people said we have to bring this to the king. We have to bring this to Yochim. So they brought it to the cabinet, the bad cabinet brought it to the king. And again, the king dismissed him. In fact, the Gemara describes the reaction of the king was that as they read the Psukim, Echo Yoshua Dod, but Dod Yira Basayam, that Yerushalayim will be desolate, he said, I can live with that, because I'll still be the king. Vachos in Keba Laila, that Yerushalayim will be morning, night after night. I can live with that, because I'll still be king. Go through and so until he gets the fifth prophet. Hoyu Tzarel the Rosh, Oyezeo Shalu. The enemies became the leaders. So then he said, that means that I'm doomed. I'm not the king anymore. And then he the nevuah and threw it into the fire that was burning to keep them warm. Bull came to Yirmiyahu to write once again at the Psukim Kela, written three Perakim that went from Aleph to Tav. He now wrote one parak that went from Aleph to Tav three times. Ani Agever. And Ani Agever is a parak of Yirmiyahu before Beit HaMikdash, seeing vividly the Beit HaMikdash being destroyed and seeing vividly Yerushalayim being exiled. And apparently the message is that until Yirmiyahu heard of the king's dismissing his nevuah so callously, so there was still hope that there wouldn't be a churban. But once it was dismissed, so then Yirmiyahu said, appear. And then again, the vivid description of churban bayis. And by wrapping it around the tochacha, the Belozar Kalir is saying that this speaks to us. So we've also had the tochacha. Had the Tocha with us since Matan Torah. And over the generations, we also have not taken the words of the Tocha, the Muslim Tocha, seriously enough. That's what the Lord HaKli is doing. He's saying it's Yirmiyahu, it's Yayachin, it's Baruch Ben Neria, it's the Jews of that door. But it's also a Moshel. It's also a Moshel, and we're in our generation of the Nimshel. And we see, the Ramban says, we've seen every single, and the Ramban says that we've seen the Tocha, that we certainly, in 2015, have seen every post of the Tocha. Remember that my brother-in-law was in yeshiva in Scranton, I think it was in Scranton. I think it was the cook there that was one of the, was a survivor. And he remembers it during the Tochacha, so the cook would be in the Beis HaMikdash, and after every Pasuk he would say, I've seen that too. And that's the significance of wrapping the Tochacha around the third paragraph of to the morning and then to the hours later of the event that could take in Harnel. So the events were, again, shocking for us beyond description. That it took place in the Beit HaMidrash. It took place in one of the great Bote Midrashim of Yerushalayim. That we lull ourselves into thinking that there are safe places. You would think that Beit HaMidrash is a safe place. You would think that Beit HaMidrash is a safe place. And that morning stripped away. Zofar, the Chorosh, who also showed us. And then the degree of brutality that, and we probably don't have the full picture of brutality of the moment. That's what Sikhs did in Beit HaMikdash. It happened to us. And the inability to put in words is how could it happen? How could one have such evil beyond words in a place of such learning and such knowledge? And for some reason, this Tina, after focus on Jesus, brings us to another event of that time, but an entirely distinct event. And this event described in the Gemara Yidden that Titus commissioned a boatload of children to be taken to Rome and to be sold as slaves. And the Gemara describes that these children understood what was ahead of them, and they didn't want to go. They wanted to jump over and give up their lives, but they weren't sure if it was the right thing to do, to take their lives and not go to Rome. So the Gemara describes that there was a premonition amongst the adults of the boat. Then a pasuk came to mind, and the pasuk described the HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewards those who go to the depth of the ocean, and he is still with those at the depth of the ocean, and they too will get Gan Eden. That's how they interpret it. Omar Hashem, Yivoshen Oshiv, Oshiv Vim Tulas Yom. They had this permission, this pasuk to them, and they interpreted it that Kadosh Baruch Hu will take care of them even if they jump over. And then they jumped over. And as I was thinking about this kina in the context of this year, this Tisha B'Av, began to understand what Rav Elazar Kalia was driving at. Because he was saying, just as we cannot wrap our minds around the idea of Jesus doing what he did in Beis HaMikdash, the brutalities of the terrorists in a Mikdash Ma'at in Yerushalayim and Ano, to these children out of their innocence, they couldn't put together themselves how Jewish kids are going to be avodim and going to be taken advantage of and abused in Rome. And an older person who's seen more and seen these contradictions happen would not have been driven to jump over. But a child, an innocent child, can't put it together. And that's what I think of all of this is connecting. When things happen that simply don't belong together, so that reminds us of what happened to Churban Beis HaMikdash. That's what we're Chalir is taking us in the next kingdom. The Churban Shavasa, Churban Shavim, Shavim Gozer, Shavim Gozer, the same in here, the world in Rodom, the Yavadi is called the Maradam, the big dollar. Sorry, I forgot we should have the next minion now downstairs. Those who need to get home, they help their wives. So downstairs, right now we'll have an opportunity to say the last keynote. It'll be in 406. In 406, so I'll finish the last keynote and to finish up the chakras. The next keynote is keynote will be described some of the terrible lows that Klal Yisrael reached. If the Chalma Noshim Piyom Allah Tibuchim came to a point where children, with mothers, would prepare their own children for food. And those same children that we'd watch them grow and we'd match up their growth. And the mother, so that means that the depravity, that the suffering was so great that that's the theme of this keynote. The end of the keynote is different than other keynotes because there's a response. As we're describing how low Klal Yisrael reached after Churban, the very end says, Baruch HaKodesh Lulam Marim, and there's a message of the Rosh Hashanah. It says, but don't forget what happened. In Pecham Lanashim Per Yom Hashmiyim, you remember the great suffering. But don't forget there's a terrible moment in Jewish history when a Koyen Zechariah Kohen Gadol and a Navi came to Beit HaMikdash and he came to give us Musa, and we were not open and we were offended, and we ended up killing him on the spot. Yehoreg the Mikdash is Kohen and Navi on Mishmiyim. The Baruch says that the law of Klal Yisrael was not one that he imposed upon us. But the Ruach HaKodesh says we have to remember what we have brought ourselves to, and understand that when we see these terrible laws of Klal Yisrael, to be able to connect the dots and take responsibility. And the Chalm and Oshim for him, Allah, the Tuchim, Allah, the Yisrael, the Shom, the Oshim, the Achman, the Yisrael, the Mududim, the Tzof, the Tzofim, Allah, the Yisrael, the Goyim, the Fa'as, the Yisrael, 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 the alludes to the close relationship that Kadosh Baruch Hu enjoys with Klal Yisrael. And then it goes on to describe a phrase that also deepens our appreciation of the close relationship. I raised children to be able to nurture. Kasher Yisrael Almenas, and just as a nursing mother takes care of a child. Every single phrase begins Ato, you. You is always an expression of closeness, not a distance, and a third person. And how could it be that the nations of the world were allowed to come in between and to unravel this close relationship? We always point out that the next kino is Tzidu Kadin, that in every tragedy, Klal Yisrael is able to be mechazek, able to gain strength at some point and accept the gzeira. And we've had moments of accepting the gzeira, whether it was Yeshayo, whether it was Yosha Melech, Tzadik Hashem Kifil Marisi, whether it was a moment ago when the Ruach HaKodesh came and said, remember the Aveira of killing Zachariah. And now, Melod Bakalid directs us to make a Tzidu Kadin, to accept Kadosh Baruch Hu's judgment. And the Tzidu Kadin, as we pointed out, is that we're saying that given what Kadosh Baruch Hu has done for us and how he's extended himself to us, so we have to accept our responsibility. We have to accept our boshes upon him. We have to accept our shame that we haven't come forward. That's the form of the Tzidik Adin. Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu was proven himself to provide for us and to have and to have rachmanis on us and to be an erech apayim to belonu. So then we have to look at ourselves and accept responsibility for the situation that Klal Yisrael is in. Next kino, as we pointed out, is the kino where we come back to daven for the first time in the kinos. Until now, there are expressions of how could this happen, forms of pesach, forms of musar. And now we begin, Atei Elayhai Oznacha, Kadosh Baruch Hu, listen, Tar davening. And the depth of the idea is that until Tzidu Kadin, so it's hard to daven. We haven't said a Kaddish Tiskado because we want to show, as we began the keynote, the diminishing appreciation of davening. That with the lack of Beit HaMikdash, there is a diminishing ability to daven. And what we're pointing out now is that a person is Avelus, that a person is certainly an Aninus, maybe Aninus is better to explain, then a person can't daven. And after Kvura, a person makes a Tzidu Kadin. And what we're suggesting is that without a Tzidu Kadin, without some kind of acceptance of the Gzeira Kadosh Baruch Hu, without some kind of understanding that the tragedy which occurred is part of the relationship, so then why are we davening? If we're looking at events and we see a measure of randomness in them, we don't see them as a part of a
response or a message or understanding from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not what davening. What's what davening for? So first has to be a serious idea. First has to be some measure of acceptance that it's Min HaShemayim. And then, in this case, we accepted some boshes haponim, but then a person, then a Jew can come back to begin to rebuild his faith and his appreciation of davening. The next kid you're all familiar with, Aziel Bonham, the son of Malchus, referenced many of the 10 giants of the Jewish people who were tortured and killed by the Romans. And the day that Klal Yisrael loses one of the giants of Klal Yisrael, Kiyoyim Shenechma Beit HaMikdash, there's a sense of distance. There's a Hester Ponim, we have less access to the understanding of Torah, we have less access to one of the great Mispalim of Klal Yisrael. And remember when Rabbi Yoshua was Nifter, he was Nifter very on his ears. And I remember one of the articles that came out is this explaining that how can one feel such great sadness when the Kodesh Baruch Hu was given us Gedolim that and Arichut Yomim. So he explained to the Mosho that a person who was lost in a forest and he's trying to find his way out, and he has limited supply. But over the course, numerous miracles happen, and his supply gets extended. But he's not in the forest yet. And then, when his last bit of supply leaves him, so he's terribly bereft. He's not bereft that good things didn't happen to him. They didn't have a great supply. But he said, I thought that I'd be out of the forest by the time to lose all the gas in there. So that's the sense of when we lose one of our giants. Sometimes it's because of a Hester Ponim, because of a tragedy. And sometimes it's because of we were hoping to have this closeness, this mispalel, this understanding of Torah and be as goyim. We don't have it, so then it strengthens the sense of loss of space of bigness. As you want to say, well, it's raised in Mishnah Gemara. So I put so coming in the oil on the ever since by the Ram, the Akhavam. Hey, me, what should be a key? The oil can harm him with a Hanan Zuba Zuba Sorrow. So who is determined master? So why will he stand the Ram? Not to turn the Schmoss to be able to ask for more of Rush, therefore be key, the goof of Tor, the Colline Torah, the bomber of Yehuda Akhra, the deal with Shibin Lake on Zara. There will be Shibin Shon to be there, Bugo. Yoy Shibin Sandy, so you know people crossing and laughing in the Marvel. The
the safer service. The who can show them any who I'll be boy shall be almost made. Well, what's the other issue? I'm a savior on Google. I'm a evolved. They were foolishly cool, like what they believe who found it will go. Yards of vows, come along, should be after all. Me tell us my shall be shown. The after all, we will also be in Dom Bomb, it's a silly show. The after all, we can eat a bit of cutting no, the after all, we could be joined in the world. I have to recognize the strong paddle, David, if I do a tiny bit of the argument, she will. The after all, you know, never give up. In every shaman, so you can keep me kind of like you could. Every show for a long. The way you go behind the gun, you are standing small, 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 you are standding small, you are standing 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 small, you are
The next kina is of unknown origin. It seems to come, it seems to be the first kina where we depart from the Churban Beis HaMikdash, and the next kina describes probably one of the events of the Crusades, probably the events in 1096 or a few years afterward, when the Crusades were on their way to the Mideast, but on their way pillaged Jewish communities. And the particular event that's described over here is when parents were forced to kill their children before they killed themselves. Next kina is the kina that describes the children of Mishmol Kohen Gadol. They were taken captives, and each one was a slave, and their owners got together because of the handsomeness of the Eved and the beauty of the Shivcha. The owners wanted to make them and produce beautiful progeny. The Rebbe used to point out, important to appreciate, that the Rebbe really changed the way that, so it's impressive how one person can impact the nation. And the Rebbe really changed in many, many ways. This is just one very, very concrete way. And that the way that Tisha B'Av is just a Kali Yisrael. That Tisha B'Av used to be people coming to shul and having several, an hour, 2 hours of keynotes, whatever it took to get through the keynotes, some of the lectures, some of the entire thing again. That was it for the day. And when the Rav began to explain the keynotes, to unravel the keynotes, and he himself spent till 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon going through the keynotes. That really changed the way that Fali Shul observed the Tisha B'Av. And it was after his example that people appreciated not only the depth of the keynotes, but the openness of the community to observing Tisha B'Av in this fashion. And now it's widespread
in all parts of Klal Yisrael. The Rebbe used to point out that this upcoming Kina makes the point of the individual tzaras, the individual tragedy of the Korban Bayis. That we focus until now on how Korban Beis HaMikdash affects Klal Yisrael. We have to remember the Korban Beis HaMikdash, they were individual stories, individual families that suffered tragically. So this Kina drives this idea home. When we come to the very end, we come to the Kohanim being treated as objects. Children of Yishmael Kohen Gadol, that they should be put together like clones. So that's such a devastating moment for any human being, certainly for the children of Yishmael Kohen Gadol, to be treated just as property. And then, I was reading also in the Sefer of Rav Moshe Shiner, and he suggests that this embrace, the two children, after being apart from each other, not knowing who each other was, throughout the night, when they find themselves in the morning, alone, and they die in embrace, I think that that's also the embrace of Prida. The embrace of the Kudu, parting from each other. Next Kino delineates the various Klei HaMikdash, the different tools of the Beit HaMikdash, that and how each one was taken, and ultimately some of them found themselves in various idols, worshipping places in Vada. And we haven't pointed this out, it's been expressed in the keynote, we haven't given an expression to the sense of Chil Hashem, that the greatest tragedy of Korban Beis HaMikdash and the greatest source of optimism of Korban Beis HaMikdash is that Beis HaMikdash was a form of Chil Hashem, that if Hashem Baruch Hu's presence in this world was diminished. And when we describe how the various tools that Hashem Baruch Hu described in such detail in Truma and Tetzaveh, and there's hardly parts of Torah that have that kind of detail, and you appreciate how precious every part of Beis HaMikdash, the Ribbono Shel Olam, and then they find themselves in idol-worshipping places, as the great form of Chil Hashem. It's also the greatest source of optimism, because of all of the evils of Korban Beis HaMikdash, the one that has to be, they all have to be restored, but the one that has to be restored with the greatest sense of urgency is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence and prominence in Malchus in the world. The next Kino continues the theme of the beginning of the previous Kino. The beginning of the previous Kino was that in any given year we could have in the Spade Chadosh. We can expose the whole Shonu Veshonu Nispeid Chodosh. We give a new Hesed for Shonu of the year. This Kina brings us back to 1096, the Crusade. It was the destruction of the worms and the spires and mines. Some of the commentaries point out a Sma. Sma is one of the commentaries on the in Chesh Mishpat, that he records that the worms suffered terribly, because the tradition is that the worms
was a community that grew out of the Churban Bayis Rishon. That when the Jews were cast to the Nebuchadnezzar to the north, so some made their way to what we now call France and Germany. And the tradition was that Worms went back to the Churban Bayis Rishon, and tradition had it that they were successful in building a Jewish community with significant infrastructure. And then after the 70 years, during the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, the Jews in Yerushalayim appealed to the Jews in Chutz La'aretz to come back. And the tradition of Worms was that they responded to the Jews on the second Beis HaMikdash, no thank you. We have it good in Worms. We have built a strong Jewish community in Worms. In their defense, I don't know if I'm not sure if the Svar is sure of the accuracy of the tradition, but in their defense, we should point out that the second Beit HaMikdash was seen, the Malbim points this out, as a preparatory step for a long Golus. So in their defense, we could argue that they were saying, we are preparing ourselves, we have prepared for a long Golus. And we don't need the return to Eretz Yisrael. Nevertheless, the Sma thought that it was that statement that ultimately caused the tragic demise of the community in 1096. And so similar to the Rav Elazar Kalir, connecting the dots between the depravity of the Jewish people and the murder of Zechariah, so the Sma connects the dots of this kina back to that ill-fated comment to the Jews of Yerushalayim. Maybe you have another extra minute for those who need to get home. We'll have another opportunity to meet before 6 to finish up the davening and to say, we'll have Kina and the go to you. The next Kina is the record of a medrash that Ozbaloch Yimal Kibri Yavos, Vinomat Samot Chamivos, Moatem Shokos, and Gishbarch who sent Yemiyo and Novi. In the time of the Churban Beit HaMikdash, Medrash says that Kadosh Baruch Hu said to Yirmiyo that Churban Beit HaMikdash, that's like a Ben Yochin, Shedisar V'yem Chupasai, a person arranges for a wedding for his only son, and he makes all the preparations and everything set in place, and the Chosin is Nifter V'yem Chupasai. Kadosh Baruch Hu said that Churban Beit HaMikdash in that kind of an event. And then he said to Yirmiyo, go to the Amos, go to Avraham Shimon Yaakov and to Moshe and see if they can turn things around, if they can bring some nechama. And each of the Amos came forward and toured the Beis HaMikdash, the Churban Beis HaMikdash, and wasn't able to bring any kind of nechama to the Ribono Shel Olam, because whatever the Avos would say, we didn't live up to the legacy of that one of the Avos. And finally, Rachel steps forward, and Rachel is able to give nechama, to give comfort to the Ribono Shel Olam. And I imagine that the conversation between Rachel and the Ribono Shel Olam was Rachel reminding Kadosh Baruch Hu that she was the put herself aside, so to speak, in order for Leah not to be embarrassed. She was willing to accept her own herself being second step, being in the second orbit, sharing that spot. So that gives the Kadosh Baruch Hu some nechama to be held to the standards of Rachel. That if Klal Yisrael doesn't see the Ribono Shel Olam as being entirely front and center and central to everything,
And as a result, we don't deserve that Beis HaMikdash. The Rachel says, Rachel becomes the Moshul Dugma, so to speak, of being able to move beyond that. And that gave Nechama to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Next keynote, Rav Elazar Kalia refers to a medrash that the Yirmiyahu HaNavi, when he came back after Churban Beis HaMikdash, he meets Isha Yefas Toya Menuvelas Motza. She finds a beautiful woman who's entirely, who has an ugly presentation. She was a pretty woman in herself, but her presentation is Menuvelas. And Yirmiyahu says to this image, are you some kind of a shade? And the image says, no, I am your mother, Tzion. And the Rabbi used to explain that this vision was a vision of the inner core of Klal Yisrael, that is forever pure and forever redeemable. That Klal Yisrael may appear as Menuvelas Motza, that there could be a terribly ugly side of us that becomes highlighted in times of Churban, but the inner core of Klal Yisrael is always pure and always redeemable, and the balance of this kingdom touches on the importance of our ability to pray to Kadosh Baruch Hu. It touches on the Zchus Avos, and it touches on the Midas HaRachamim that we're used to receiving. Now it suggests that these are all core and central points in the relation of Klal Yisrael and Kadosh Baruch Hu, which will never be voided. Rosa Kalir in the next Kina describes the inability to receive Nechama, the inability to receive any kind of comfort, Eisenachamuni Hevel, because time in itself has not produced Nechama. Time has made the Churban more difficult for Klal Yisrael. What we're missing, we're still missing the. So if and okay, on what basis could I find any possible nechama? You want to take a moment out to remind ourselves of something we discussed on the last show of Shudas. That the Gemara in Sota at the very end, when it describes the different aspects of Churban Beis HaMikdash, it describes the loss of Beis HaMikdash, obviously, the Ein Dereish, the ability that we don't have mochichem, those are given smutzah, we don't have those are misawal for us. The very last line, ve'ein lonu ela v'nishu v'shamayim. That the Churban brings us to the point where we realize that we all directly are entirely dependent on the Ribbono Shel Olam. We began this morning to discuss the idea of this bonus of trying and using the morning to gain greater depth, greater insight. So I would suggest, as we did on Shul Shudas, from Arlei Bach's essay, that you see from this presentation, you see from the presentation of Chazal, Chutz V'Yazid, Ikus of the Mashiach, the breakdown of the Torah, of links, and the very last line is, V'Ein Lonu Elanish V'Shamayim. So both the Churban and the Ikus of the Mashiach have to bring us to that point, where we come to the appreciation that only Kadosh Baruch Hu can move us beyond this. We pointed out that in personal tragedy, Rachmanel Tzlan as well, the Amok Minachem, human being cannot provide Nechama. So in this
in this kina, when we say Eichen Achen, how is it possible for us to take Nechama? It becomes the realization, one of the greatest points that is bonus of Allah Velus. It comes to the point that Ein Lonu Ella Anishu Shemaim, that every Jew, the Yochid and the Chlal, has to come to that kind of an awareness of the Rebbeinu Shlomo's directing the events of his life. Eichen Achen Muni Hela, when there's no nechama, so they're left to their own tears. And as we pointed in the past, tears and crying is an important part of Avelos, important part of Bechi for Mikdash. First 3 days of Avelos is times of Bechi. They used to say that the morning of Tisha B'Av is the Bechi, the moments of crying, that is part of every Avelos. We pointed out that the Bechi of Klal Yisrael can never be a Bechi L'chinam. That was the error that we made the first Tisha B'Av in Chet Demiragma. And again, Rabbi Yehuda Bash in this essay develops the idea that we've often mentioned a medrash that describes the conversation between Plato and Yirmiyahu. Obviously, where the wise men of the world say to Yirmiyahu, what's the point of the crime? Where's it going? Where's it taking? And Yirmiyahu says, you don't understand, but we've lost. And the portion explained that what Yirmiyahu was saying is that you don't understand that with us, the Bechi is coming, is going someplace. If it's a Bechi, Shechina goes no place. But there's a Bechi that then morphs into Avelos, and then morphs into some form of Zvon or some greater understanding. That's what Yirmiyahu was saying. It is for us, it creates the Bechi, brings us the point of Eichen Achen, it brings us the point of Eimon Nishon Elo Vinish V'Shavayim. So for us, the Bechi, that's when the Chazal say that there was a night of Bechi Shochinam, because when he cried in the Dor HaMid, Bechen Maraglam, it was only an expression of futility. That's the Bechi Shochinam. But crime, which leads a person to feel not just a moment of futility, but then takes it beyond it and says, however, yesh on the shine of Yeshua Shemayim, that Bechi is a Bechi in which one can do. We described in the past that this references and is built on the concept of symptom, as we described before, the improbability of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam finding a place in this physical world. And understanding that symptom is, Rabbi used to point out, is one of the great chasodim and the great kindnesses of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. That symptom means the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, in order to be close to Klal Yisrael, is willing to give up on the very parameters of his being, and is willing to compromise on his non-physical nature and bring his concentration to this world. We don't understand it. We know that it's beyond our appreciation, our comprehension, and as a result, it must be one of the great kindnesses that Kadosh Baruch Hu has given Klal Yisrael. The loss of Churban Bayis is the loss of this great chesed and the loss of our ability as human beings to have some tangible and palpable presence in the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Well, this Shalom Shechokit is a little come away, and we always have a little come away, and we always have a little come away. Jackie, beginning to good.
Who's that?
The next kina relates to the event that he described of the killing of Zechariah Hanavi, and that the blood of Zechariah maintained itself in Beit HaMikdash, and it was alive in Beit HaMikdash, it was bubbling in Beit HaMikdash, until Nebuchadnezzar came, and when he asked about this bubbling pool of blood, that we were embarrassed, so we began to make several excuses, and until Nebuchadnezzar kept on pursuing, and then kept on bringing for sacrifices, and then human sacrifices, and then killing little children until in order to find appeasement for this him was a curiosity, and then so finally he screamed out and said to God, "What you want of me? How many have to die in order for the blood of Zechariah to stop bubbling?" So this kina describes this is by Yehuda Levi, and it describes this event. The next kina is a later kina that refers once again to the various atrocities, vulgarities that the Titus did inside the Beit HaMikdash. The next kina begins the series of Etzion. These are the kinos of Rav Yehuda Levi. Rav Yehuda Levi was one of the great Ohavei Eretz Yisrael. He made a great sacrifice. He made his way to Eretz Yisrael in a very difficult and laborious journey. And he came to Eretz Yisrael. He came to Yerushalayim. And then he got off his horse and he hugged the ground in Eretz Yisrael. While he was doing that, an Arab horseman came by and trampled him. He made his last moments. He finally fulfilled his dream. He was going to dream to live in Eretz Yisrael. And this is one of the many keynotes, one of the many poems that the Yehuda Levi had described about Eretz Yisrael. This one opens up with Sion Alosha Shalil Shlom Asiraya. Dershei Shlomech Ben Yeser Adaraya. That the cloud is strong, we have a mission. We have a mission to be concerned about Yerushalayim. The right after Churban Beit HaMikdash, Rav Yechonon Ben Zakkai enacted several takonos, several practices, which were copies of the way that things were done in Mikdash. And they were to be done by Klal Yisrael in all places and all times. So, for example, we take our lulav and esrog, not only the first day, as it says in Chumash, but we take it all the entirety of Yom Kippur, even though that is a requirement only in Beit HaMikdash. Rav Yechonon Ben Zakkai said that
Pasuk says, Tzion halo d'reish, nechlau, nechlau tzitzichim l'drosh Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim Zachai said that one of our missions after Chumim Beit HaMikdash is to be d'orshe Tzion, to be pining and seeking Yerushalayim. So comes the Sukkot, and we say we want to take Lulav and Esrog the way we've done Yerushalayim. Comes Leil Seder, we say, we do Koyrech, right? Zeichel and Mikdash Kilo. So we are Dorish, that which we're missing, most of the keynotes, we're bemoaning the lot. And Yehuda Levi is now incorporated in the Seder our keynotes in order to remind us that we have a mission of being Dorish, of being Shomu Mishlom Yerushalayim, of now being strengthened by the observance of Tisha B'av and having greater understanding, and as a result having the strength to follow on our obligation of seeking out the restoration, the returning of Yerushalayim, both by our observances and obviously by a more profound return to the Ribbono Shel Olam Avoda. The next keynote speaks about the great attributes of Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Tzvi. It is a land that grows its produce very quickly. Vilaos Naman Rochat is a land that the waters had curative powers for Naman. It's called Tanuga Mavoy Boisreich. It's a place where the produce is much enjoyed for Yech Lamarpe. Again, their curative powers. The animals in there to have greater wisdom, and that's a reference to a Pinchas Ben Yorah, that his animal would not eat any trace. And Boch Kelev Adoy Ve'in Bilto. This we spoke about on Shabbos, that there are great attributes there to Israel. Israel gave us a very, very beautiful land. And he did it for Klal Yisrael in order for Klal Yisrael to appreciate and to be able to enjoy. But Boch Kel Levado Ve'ein Bilto V'yesei Shemech Ad Kilekim Emes Nodav V'Shirach. With all of the physical attributes of Eretz Yisrael, and there are many, and often is once discussed that the seven fruits of Eretz Yisrael in and of themselves are not the greatest fruits that a person would pursue, a person would plant, a person would include in a salad. But they are that each of the fruits requires different kinds of terrain and different kinds of climate. And by having all seven fruits within such a small acreage, a small square footage, that speaks to the great gift of Eretz Yisrael. And when it appreciates that in context of this being a gift that the Baruch Hu gave Klal Yisrael and being a gift to the Avos, and the Baruch Hu wants the comfort of Klal Yisrael and its greatness to it. But what the Baruch Hu's point, Python is pointing out to us, is that they're all great virtues of Eretz Yisrael, and they're all reasons for us to appreciate the Baruch Hu's gift. However, the greatness of Eretz Yisrael, and in the light of which everything else pales, is Boch Kel Levado Ve'ein Bilto, that it's a Kishbaruch Hu's home. Ve'yetei Shemeach Ad Yilekim Emes Nodav V'Shirayim, and from there a Kishbaruch Hu's name will become known and will become sung. And the greatest chance, the only chance of the full Kiddush Hashem that's supposed to be in this world is Eretz Yisrael and Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael. Matov v'no'im b'vo shivtei v'nei Yaakov shol ishpamim v'chol shonim v'shirayim. When Klal Yisrael is back in Eretz Yisrael, and each
never finds its way back into Beit HaMikdash. So that's the, I think, the where this kina is taking us. To appreciate that with all the different beauties of Eretz Yisrael, but the we all diminish the greatness of Eretz Yisrael, which is that it's the where Eretz Baruch Hu will establish his name through Klal Yisrael. So when we live in a time that we see, we could see the opposite of that. We could see the incessant battles against Klal Yisrael being in Eretz Yisrael, whether it's the incessant resolutions that go through the UN that we are no longer even aware of, whether it's the Chutz V'Yazgei, Adikus HaDemshicha, that the Human Rights Commission focuses on Tzal, whether it's the recent negotiations and the concerns that only Klal Yisrael has for Eretz Yisrael. So this is the reverse of what it should be. These are elements of Chil Vashem. These elements of the nation of the world not having any appreciation for Klal Yisrael being in Eretz Yisrael. And we understand it. We understand we focus on one's own needs, one's own economy, and own concerns, and personal legacy. We understand all of these things. But we have to appreciate that this is consistent from where it's supposed to be. What it's supposed to be is a supreme concern for Jews living in Eretz Yisrael. A supreme concern for having Beit HaMikdash, for Klal Yisrael being safe. Because and that's the sea change that we speak about. The sea change of Western and a universal culture, that there is a supreme value that Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Klal Yisrael and Kadosh Baruch Hu need to get in Eretz Yisrael. An entirely different orientation can only happen with Mashiach coming. But at the core of that is appreciating that Eretz Yisrael is both and levado ve'en miltov. And this kina describes the duties of Eretz Yisrael, because on one level, the Shas Korban, we miss many of them. Nowadays we have the return of some of them. And those are signs of the footsteps of the Mosa Mashiach, the fact that the land of Israel has become productive once again. And obviously the fact that the Kibbutz Goliath, these are all indications of Ikmus of the Mashiach. At the same time, we have to remind ourselves of the beauties of Eretz Yisrael that we don't have full access to, and that ultimately they all are supposed to be tremendously impressive, each in their own, and then pale in contrast to the magnificence of the land being the place where Kadosh Baruch Hu is called. Diyon tichi kol tzore gilin tzivare chayim dan raman diyon gomu shinavare heret tzili ad tzirchem yisuna when eidin mekoyim kum yekoyo tzimim achim ooy tzam and roche tzore tzibay yardein azay nesaf af tzimti tzirale af.
Next, Kina describes the Golus HaShechina, that with our lead departure of Eretz Yisrael and with the departure of the Shechina from Mokim and Mikdash, so that is a Kadosh Baruch Hu did not leave in one moment. He left slowly. He left from Beit HaMikdash within the north of Eretz Yisrael. But the point is to appreciate that there are two parts to Churban. There's the part of Klal Yisrael. There's the loss of the Klal Yisrael, and to appreciate that there is a Beit HaMikdash Malala, that there is a form of Chil Hashem, the lapse of the Kodesh Baruch Hu's covenant, that we should be on the level that we're concerned about and davening for as well. The next kina opens with the expression of the observation that the Beis HaMikdash came in Binyamin's section, Binyamin's inheritance. Binyamin was called the Yedid Hashem, Tzion Yedidus Yedid Sarah Sarayach, and Binyamin was called the Yedid Hashem. The Midrash would say for two reasons. One was because he did not have to bow down to Esav, so he never had this, never showed the diminishing of Klal Yisrael in front of the Umas Olam, and therefore he never participated in the original Chil Hashem when the Shifta Yaakov bowed down in front of Esav. That became a premonition for time to come. So the Yavin never participated in that simon, that sign, the premonition of the loss of the promise of Ribon Shalom, did Hashem, and obviously because he wasn't involved in the sale of Yosef, in the Sinas Chinam, that brought about the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. So Tzin Yedidus Yedid Tzor L'Sarayah, he says that the Kadosh Baruch Hu's, the friendship that was shown through this young, this Binyamin, Shechant Seifah V'Rav Anvas HaDarayah, and that's why you chose to rest yourself there. And again, that's a simon for the ideas that we've discussed, that with the departure of the Beis HaMikdash of the Shechina, so that is a loss of that sense of Yedidus, both in terms of the closeness of the Jewish people that we have to have towards ourselves, towards each other, as well as the concern for the Kiddush and Shemayim that the times to come will bring. The kina was composed by Maharam Rotenberg, Rav Meir Rotenberg. Rav Meir Rotenberg was Talmud of Mordechai, lived just before the Ramah, had a tremendous impact on the observance of Halach of Ashkenaz. He was one of the last Bali Tosfos, and many of the positions of the Bali Tosfos came to us via the Maharam. The Shechter is often cites that the Maharam was the person within the Mesor of Ashkenaz to express concern for more than one shita. So often when we have that we are being machmir for more than one shita, going beyond the consensus, apparently that approach began with Maharam Rosenberg. And here he expresses that kina, composed a kina that responds to the book burnings of 1240 that came as a result of one of the debates that the French king organized, and as a result of the debate, the Talmud was brought forth 24 cartloads of handwritten Gemaras with handwritten Rashi and Tosfos, all thrown into the fire. And this loss of chokhma, of learning, of clarity within understanding of Torah, is all part of the deepening of the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. Shani Tzifol Bereish Vishlom Avivayech HaMisadim Shekhoim Lechatein The Meir Rotenberg gave expression to one of the themes of the fast day. Esmal nafshi, I wonder, ech yeram lechiki ocho, how will food ever be sweet for me anymore? Acharei ro'si, after I've seen, asher osu shlalayach, the way your spoil has been gathered together, el teich mechovok in idachas. The source of Shilal Elyon, Shizimach Levot Elayah. My Rebbe phrase are rich with with nuances. Says that when you look at the 24 carloads of Talmud coming into the center of the town, what do you conjure up? You conjure up Eir Nigacha. You conjure up the city that was given over to Moedas Ora, and all of its spoils to come to the center and all be burnt together. Just look at this. Here we have the Torah, the handwritten Torah, handwritten Masorah, Rashi Tosfos, and it's having the same fate as the Masorah of a town that has gone towards idolatry. So that's the distance, that's the disparity that Korban creates. He says, Esma. Excellent action. Is it possible to find food tasting? So on one hand, Maron Rottenberg is giving expression to one of the ideas of the Tannis. One of the ideas of the Tannis is that we don't find food isn't meaningful to us anymore. We don't find that there's a machesheh for it. It's part of the Tannis. A person is in such terrible sorrow. So what's the meaning of another sandwich, another piece of food, another piece of meat. So when I see cartloads of Torah like up in fire, can I ever enjoy food anymore? That's one of the ideas of the tainus. And it reminds us of the Gemara, the third pregnant of Basra, when after Churban Bayis, so the Prushim said, Rabbanim said, so we're not going to have any meat or wine anymore. How can we have meat or wine if we're not going to bring it to on the mikvah, the Zveyach? That's the beginnings of our practice of the 9 days. And then the Chachamim argued them and said to them, but if you, by that logic, you can't have bread anymore because Korban Mincha. Is that right? We don't have any bread anymore. So by that logic, you can't have fruit anymore because it'd be Korban. So, the Prushim were stunned. And Chacham explained to them that it's not the way of Klal Yisrael to have Avelos, as we discussed this morning, without his Boidinus, without just having an expression of Yiyush, expression of not being able to go forward. But in Tisha B'Av, we allow ourselves that expression. And that's what Vermeer said, in the Eich Yera of the Chiti offer. But then there's a metaphor that he's referring to. We say every morning, V'harev lonu Hashem l'keit v'tivisal v'finu. We ask everybody, Baruch, what should be sweet? What should be geshmak for us? Because Baruch Hu's Torah should be sweet for us. We often discuss, we daven for it. It isn't something which comes through, use the word carefully, naturally. It doesn't come biologically. It doesn't come necessarily physiologically. But the resonance of the person in Torah is natural. And Bahara is low, we ask the Baruch Hu to make it not a grind, a difficult time, but make it sweet for us. Ultimately, the study of Torah should be one moment of sweetness, of goodness. So Meir Rundberg is saying that look what's happening to our V'harevna, ech erav l'chiki ochem. So will they ever really find sweetness in food anymore? They don't find sweetness in, so not, if every time I open a Gemara, I'm going to think about, will go on in my mind that the flames of these Gemaras will ever be a sense of sweetness again. That's part of the Avelos. When Avelos comes to that point, as we discussed earlier today, of Ein Lono L'Nishu Shemayim, that Rebbeinu from Rottenberg came to the realization that he's going to have moments of Yerav L'Chiki, if food will be tasty, if Torah will be tasty to him, that Ein Lono L'Nishu Shemayim, it only comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, the next Kina. Next Kina, Tzion Tziras Pair, is also in the 1200s and is the request of the Yerushalayim Shalmata to of the Yerushalayim Shalmala to ask Yerushalayim Shlomo to come to his aid.
See you, see you.
The author expresses the idea that Mishpat L'chilach, that there's again a form of Tzidut HaDin, that we have over time listened to the Nevi'ei Sheker. L'chilach in Manach Yitzchok because of L'gilah B'nayach. You listen to people who told you everything would be good, there's no reason to do tshuva. Okay, L'yav L'inoch Rishoch, and therefore Rishon could come in. You did listen to your Malachim. Your Malachim as the Nevi'ei Emes, Man, Valkei, Rabbonon. Like the world of Jewish people are as a chachomim, like shavtim lemerach l'tov. You didn't listen. Gilis kolonech v'tomasef v'sholeach. There were times when we had different forms of golos. Derech hachasech l'echolach. You didn't listen when we had the golos of the ten shvatim. So this keynote expresses that Klal Yisrael had many messages, many opportunities. And we didn't take advantage. That's what we hope, that every Tisha B'Av is, we take as one of those messages that we're still in Golos. And we will begin to make the tikkun, of Avas Chinam, and the various tikkunim, the Varat, the Birchat, the Tar Tchila. It all begins with, we've been discussing this morning, a form of times of stoniness, times of introspection. Both the yachin to the cloud. See the mishpat l'chila, achim v'nayach l'such, v'chonzo v'legila v'nayach, okay, v'nei av. The last kina before Elit Zion reviews many of the items that we discussed this morning. Giveres, m'mamachay, t'zirayach, that at once, and the position of Klal Yisrael, that the Kohanim abused their position, that Chozin Nevi'im Basham, that we took the Nevi'i Sheker too seriously, we took them seriously altogether, Iyim Yechavu L'Roz Oyseis and Moiseis, that the expression to the hidden parts of the Jewish people, and it was our sodos, whether it was our learning or our nisim, became open and lost their impact. And then Shemesh v'Kofei Shachat, the stars acquired Sarvachim of Oshkos Odos, the moon is quiet. Matzi Rishon Kikom, Rishon a greater position. Chochmas Nevonu B'yayim Ovda, that which is our greatness. Gihi Chochmas M'yayas L'nei Amin, this week's parasha, has become unappreciated. The way I see it is that this keynote gives one final expression to the idea of May Igvar Roma L'divra Amikta. That Klal Yisrael with Beit HaMikdash, Shlomo HaMelech Mishato, nations of the world came, they contributed to the Beit HaMikdash, contributed, they wanted to hear the wisdom of Shlomo HaMelech. Klal Yisrael was Geveres L'machos Mitzirayah. We were the nation to be sought after, to be supported, to be modeled. And we certainly see ourselves now as in the Bira HaMikdash, even though we know that there's still great truth to that. But it's one that is not appreciated. Kohanim abuse their power. That's the Igra Rama Levi'ar Mikta. Jewish wisdom is not appreciated. The Igra Rama from the greatest height, Levi'ar Mikta, to great depth. And Ad Kedei Kach, that even the natural world doesn't give expression to this great loss of when the world is lost with the Churban Bayis. There's one final expression which summarizes many of these ideas that I think gives expression to the side and the impact of
chum and bias, and that's what has to remain with us for the course of the day. The impact of chum and bias that we began with, not in the Davin, not in the Kohen, and not in Mikdash, till Hashem, and to appreciate through greater introspection that impact is something that is very, very hard to get full expression to, very hard to connect to. We have to find different ways of, in our own lives, of connecting. Chavetz Chaim used to say, as gives a quote, Chavetz Chaim used to say that when we daven, we focus on Rifa'enu, we focus on Birchas Hashanim, focus on Shuva, Shema Kolenu, and we breathe through the request for the return of Beis HaMikdash, return of Yerushalayim. So Rabbi Chaim said if Jews would be insightful, they would reverse it, because they would know that that our real Yeshuas will come when there's Yerushalayim, when there's Chacham, when there's Beis HaMikdash. And that when we have all those in place, so then we will have easier access to the Yeshuas that are closer to our hearts and much more in our minds. That's all part of Korban Bayis. Number one, that we don't fully appreciate it, that it's such a distant concept. And that the Yeshuas that we daven for, the real Yeshuas, and the clarity that we daven for, so those can only be ours when the Rosh comes back to us, to write the right thing. See you at the various of Rosh Hashanah, see you at the various of Rosh Hashanah, see you at the various of Rosh Hashanah, Nothing in the nature of oil. The Echo de Rach, the Sibishin, the Dam Cocus, and I'm very sure we're going to go to the Kinai.
The strange thought to have a kina to end the kina, because with Eli Tzion, the Shusara, with Eli Tzion, we're going to end the recitation of the keynotes. But nothing changes. The need for keynotes is going to, we hope, end soon. But the need for keynotes is going to persist even after the saying of the keynotes is ended. There must be something in this Eli Tzion that helps us to package. Unfortunately, our community has suffered recently the loss of several young people. One of the relatives shared with me a thought that was penned by Rabbi Goldschneider, who himself suffered the loss of a child, and he spoke and he wrote 3 weeks ago in conjunction with Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. In conjunction with the breaking of the Luchos, the Gemara describes that the Aron, which was with the Jewish people for close to 1,000 years following the giving of the Torah, following the destruction of the first set of Luchos, that Aron had both. Luchos, Veshivre, Luchos, Munachim, Ba'aron. The Aron had contained within it the whole second set of Luchos, and it contained with it as well the shards, the broken first luchos. And the Jews carried that, and then throughout their travels in the Midbar, they carried it from Mishkan to Mishkan in Eretz Yisrael, and they brought it with them to the Beis HaMikdash, luchos v'shivri luchos menachem b'aron. That the step forward to embrace the new luchos, but they never let go of the broken luchos. It's incredibly painful on a personal level. How do we make sense of this when we're talking about, as Rabbi Neuber has been reminding us, an Avelus Yeshana, an old national Avelus that one needs a lot of historical consciousness to begin to feel? So we look to Eli Tzion, hopefully, to give us some sense, some sort of a tool. How are we going to pass the national Shirvei Luchos inside of our hearts to take them with us forward? So the refrain, the chorus, Eli Tzion de'areha, Then only do we talk to Tia like a person, Eretz Yisrael. We talk to her as if you are Levi did in Tino officially. She's the mother who has been waiting for us. She's been holding her fruits back until we began to come back to her. Tion is crying. Tion is shrieking. Eli Tion. But like, what sort of a shrieking woman? The Python compares her to two different types of shrieking women. She's a Besula Chadura Saka Baal Mu'reha. She's a young woman who's lost her husband. She's also like Isha B'Tzireha. She's like a woman in the pains of labor. We all know that the months of discomfort, and there could be, depending on the pregnancy, months or weeks or days or hours of pain, of contraction, and at the end, it's incredibly, incredibly painful. Incredibly painful. I have the thought, as many people in this room have had, of learning at yeshiva, learning at YU, and learning under Rabbi Rosenzweig. And when his wife, the great personality, a teacher of Torah in her own right, the Dr. Smadar Rosenzweig, when she was a child at camp, and she had suffered a bad accident. She was in the hospital for some time. Baruch Hashem, that long behind her. At the time, it was a pretty serious situation. And her mother, Dr. Yaffa Elia, told the story of one of the Dika Kolomim, the cook. At the camp, they were asked for the summer, the cook came to visit her. The cook was a survivor, and he told her a story that perhaps some of you are aware of. And it was a story that happened with him. This cook, as a teenager, in pre-war lodge, I believe, working in a half the restaurant, working some sort of kitchen, his hand, if I remember correctly, was caught in meat grinder. So Hashem's bone survived, but his palm was mutilated. You can imagine the pain and the series of surgeries. And they ultimately did a skin graft in a different part of his body, and the doctor told him that that since the graft, even though the piece of skin was taken from a hairy part of the body, but since it was being grafted onto his palm, he would grow no hair there. And as the cook says, my hand didn't go to medical school, and he grew hair on his palm. Imagine a teenager, probably like 16, 17 years old, adolescent will be naturally sent to a single pimple. Is emotional anguish. You imagine the one kid in the world, perhaps, literally, not as an expression, who has a hairy palm. In months of pain, years of embarrassment, the Nazis come, they move into Lodz. His parents, I believe, are already, at that point, killed by the Nazis. He tells his sister, you're not leaving the house. As much as the Nazis were looking for Jewish men and Jewish boys, they were looking out for Jewish women and girls even more. You wouldn't be safe outside. Stay home. I'll take care of everything outside that. Don't leave. Not even once. And he would sneak out surreptitiously to work, to get money, to get food, whatever it was, and come back to her. He comes back and she's not there. And he's crazed with pain and with fright, and he runs out into the street. He discovers there was a roundup, and his sister must have been taken. And in that moment, he's not thinking clearly. He runs straight into Gestapo headquarters, into the lion's den. And the Nazi receptionist at the front desk is only too glad to have had a Jew actually walk himself in. And begins to taunt him, make fun of him, he's a dirty Jew. And he says, you have my sister, I want her back. Imagine that. The Nazi decides he's going to have a good time with himself. Oh, I don't know, sister here, I'll have to check. Maybe she is, and he begins to play mind games with him. He says, you have my sister, give her back to me now. And Nazi decides, pulls out a pistol, he says, listen, dirty Jew, I'll be glad to give you your sister back. And he's fought. He sees for that moment on the Jewish face. And he said, if you grow hair on the palm of your hand, I'll give you your sister back. If not, I'll shoot you down. And what happened next was obviously something Nazi never thought he would see. The Jew opened his hand, and the hair was off. And that Nazi turned white, and he turned purple, and he turned green, and he thinks he must be dealing with a demon. And he says, you just take your sister and get out of there. And if he takes the sister before the Nazi puts him twice, and they run to the forest and they manage to survive. Isha b'tzireha. At that moment, there was nothing good about that accident. Months of physical torture, years of emotional anguish. But it's no idiom and it's no exaggeration, it's no turn of speech when we say that accident literally saved his life and saved his sister's life. He would have been dead on the spot. Think for a moment about not only the pain that the mother experiences before her child is born. You think for a moment from if we can empathize with an embryo, with the fetus inside the mother's in utero, inside the mother's womb. Life is wonderful. Learning Torah with a malach, I don't know exactly what that means, but clearly he's in a state of spiritual bliss. All of his needs are taken care of. He's fed, he's warm, he's cuddled next to his mother 24/7. What could be better? Totally secure. And suddenly, things start to happen. He starts to get pushed around. And all of a sudden, he's getting squeezed and pushed, and suddenly he's falling out into bright light and he thinks his life is over. And the truth is, it's just beginning. Because we have the perspective to see that. We know, but we don't see it, that the end of a Jew's life is an incredible thing. And yet we know that a new stage of life is just beginning. And we know somehow that's true in a national plain as well. I close with two Eretz Yisrael thoughts. Last summer I discussed Sabina Eretz Yisrael. We all remember, I'm sure Huberger spoke about earlier today, so I wasn't missed it before, I was downstairs with younger members of the Kiva. Three boys were taken from us, and exceptional oxen, the likes of which perhaps Baal has not enjoyed in who knows how many years or decades or centuries. Exceptional oxen for those precious weeks. An extraordinary worldwide tefila. Then we discovered that it was all seemed lashav, because they were most likely dead before the oxen even began. We don't begin to have the perspective to be able to make judgments, to be able to give understanding and figure out reasons. The halodavar that within the next couple of weeks, Kalal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael experienced extraordinary nisim. Last summer, we started our summer in Sukkot as we do every summer. First, arrived in the afternoon, the first night ready, in the old Sivri Shalayim, Davi Ma'arav at Sukkot. Last year we did as well, except the last year in the middle of our Ma'arav we had to run for cover because the siren started. And the next night there was another siren. And there were missile after missile after missile, we haven't forgotten. And the ratio and how many missiles fell. One would have expected even more, so much more Jewish suffering for those missiles. And it was beyond remarkable. Our dome functioned way beyond what was expected, and in ways that were on the border between a Neis Nister and a Neis Nigla. As Rav Neuberger reminds us several times over the course of this past year, Rosh Hashanah would have been another Tisha B'Av, and yet it wasn't. We don't fully see yet because we're still that fetus in utero. We don't yet have the perspective to understand how the tzirin leads to new birth, how the pain leads to new life.
But I will tell you this.
Rebbe Akiva, we all know that Gemara Makos that we review every Erev Pesach. Rebbe Akiva is smiling when his colleagues are crying because he sees a sad nevuah taking place. He knows the happy nevuah must be on the way. That happy nevuah we have seen. Oh, the Yeshua, the king of the kingdoms, there's a playground in Ulti Yerushalayim that has that inscribed. The old people will sit here, old people will speak, old people sit, and young people play ball. And we're beginning to see it with us. We don't still are far from fully understanding, but we begin to see that all this pain we know, our emunah is reinforced, that somehow, somewhere, some why, it's isha b'tzireha, it is pain. It's a tisha b'ah, but it's a tisha b'ah with purpose, and it's a tisha b'ah that allows us, hopefully, to regain a little bit more of closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu we take with us as we begin to stand up.